Romans chapter 3. I titled this one, Hope for the Hopeless. Because the truth is, we're all hopeless without some hope. We're all hopeless without, and of course we realize our hope is Jesus Christ. And so let's look at this, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3, 21, he says, but now. And I love how he says, listen, you're worthless, you're a heathen, you're condemned to hell, you have no hope, you have no chance, you have nothing. And then we get to 3:21, and he says, but now. And that word, but now, or the two words, but now, we got to grab hold of, because this changes our lives. This changes our hope. This changes our future. This changes everything about life if we'll grab hold of it. But now. And we go, okay, but now what? Why do we have the but now? Let's back up to verse 20. In 3:20, because you're not going to truly appreciate what I have to say unless I remind you of why Paul says this, unless I remind you of how you're a heathen and you're condemned and you have no hope. That's that beautiful part everybody wants to hear when they come to church, right? Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law, the knowledge of sin. And so he's saying, listen, because you have the law, you have understanding of sin. What I want to do before I give everybody this glorious hope and describe the gift that God has given us, which is salvation, I want you to understand the law. Because, you know, some people, they don't get the law. And they say, Pastor, you always say the law, the law, the law, the law. And by the way, when we say the law, it almost seems offensive, doesn't it? You know, it's like the law says, and we're really, you're putting me under that kind of pressure? The law condemns, I know. The law, the law. Well, I want you to get the law. And so the law is a rule of action. And there's three types of the law that I want you to get a hold of. Three types of the law. Once you understand the law, I think you're going to understand this passage a whole lot better. Three types. Number one, you have the ceremonial law. And that prescribes the ceremonial law. You guys can just turn that off, because that's really going to be annoying to me. If it's going to keep flashing, amen. Is it annoying to anybody else? Yeah, it's like I'm trying to read, and all I see is, and like these stars. Okay, how many used to have an issue with alternative mind altering things, right? So I'm going like flashback or something, right? And all right, for those of you who don't know, Jesus saved me from a lot, and I am so grateful for it. And yeah, okay, let's move on. Amen. Praise Jesus. By the way, you know what? I'm going to tell you, we're close. This is August, September, October. October 2nd will be 21 years that I gave my life to Christ. I think it's 21, right? I got saved in 94. So yeah, 21 years. 21 years, thank you. And in 21 years, I have, when Christ saved me, the very day he cleaned me up. And so I have been clean, sober, drug-free since October 2nd, 1994. Amen. Those are the gifts that I'm talking about. And that's really what this passage helps us to see, is that, you know, prior to that, man, I was condemned. I was doomed. I was a sinner. And you go, well, I wasn't that bad of a sinner. You know, the truth is, you were. It was just in different ways. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so... You know, I obviously make light of flashbacks or whatever, because I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I'm not ashamed of my past, because it was who I was, and it's my testimony, and it's what Christ has saved me from. It's kind of like Paul says, you know, I used to kill Christians, and I was a zealot for God, just wasn't Jesus Christ. He was just a zealot. And Paul says, listen, this is my past. And if you go back and you read Acts, you will find where Paul sets before King Agrippa. And he tells him his whole past. He gives him his whole testimony. And Paul says, you know what? This is where I came from. And so I can honor God all the more because of what I know he took me out of. Amen. And so when I make jokes, I don't want anybody to think that I glory in my past, because I don't. But man, I'm telling you, I take glory in what God saved me from of my past. And not only me, but man, my wife is incredibly grateful for what Jesus did. Amen. I'm just going to tell you out loud. Hey, listen, my wife, I think she celebrated more than I did when I got saved. All I did was cry because of what he saved me from. My wife cried from what he saved her from. All right. So here we go with the law. Let's look at the law. And in the law, we have three types of law. Number one is the ceremonial law, prescribes under the Old Testament the rites and ceremonies of worship. And so the ceremonial law was to tell the Jews, hey, listen, this is how you're to worship. This is how you are. These are your rites. This is how I expect you to live. And then we have the judicial law, and the judicial law was the law which directed the civil policy of the Hebrew nation. Listen, these are the morals you're going to put in. These are the policies, if you will. This is the do's and the don'ts. And if you do this, it's going to be good. And if you don't do this, it's going to be bad. And so we had the judicial law. We have a judicial law today, nothing like it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Our judicial law is turned into man's judicial law, not God's. And so obviously we're seeing a huge difference. And then the third type of law is the moral law. And the moral law is the revealed will of God as to human conduct, binding on all men to the end of time. And so what we see is God says, listen, when he says it's the law, we understand that the law is designed to tell us how we are to live, why we are to live that way, the consequences if we don't live that way, and the law establishes that we're sinners. And so we may appreciate or not appreciate the law, but when you understand what he's talking about in the law, he says, listen, the law, it set the moral conduct, it set your ceremonial, it set the judicial. The law established the right from the wrong, your moral conduct, how you should live. That's the law. And so when we look here at the law in 21 or 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by working the law, by doing what you know to do right, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You can't earn this. You can't do good enough. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. He says, you have the law. The law shows you're a sinner. And if you can work the law to the best of your ability, it still will not be good enough to justify you before me. You're still a condemned sinner. You're still condemned to hell. And we go, oh, I don't like that. I know, but listen, I say a lot of things people don't like. And I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to beat you up with hell, but I'm not going to hold it from you either, because that I don't want you walking out of here thinking that there's no condemnation apart, you know, if you don't have Jesus Christ, because the truth is there is condemnation, and it's not jail, it's hell. Big difference, guys. And so I want you to understand that. So he says here, listen, in 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by working the law, doing the best you can, no flesh, you will not be justified in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge or the understanding of sin. God says, I gave you the law so you can clearly understand what sin is. And every time you violate the law, you are a sinner. How many have ever violated a law at some point, sometime? Amen. You are a sinner. And because of that, and you might even say, well, listen, it was only one time in my life. Therefore, you violated another law, thou shalt not lie, and you are condemned again, right? And so by the law, you are condemned. I just want you to understand the law, because you have to understand you can't earn this, you can't work for it, you can't be good enough, you can't give enough, you can't be pretty enough, you can't be ugly enough, you can't be big enough, and you can't be little enough. It takes Jesus Christ alone. Amen. So, now that we have established the law and the understanding, now let's move to 21. Because of everything Pastor John just said, He goes on and says, but now, Paul, if he was here, he would have agreed with me. Amen. He would have said amen. Actually, he would have probably told me to sit down. He could articulate it much better, but, I'll live with what it is. 21, but now. Guys, are you starting to get a sense of the but now? Are you starting to grab hold of it? Listen, you're condemned. You can't do enough apart from Jesus Christ. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has nothing to do with the law. In other words, he says, listen, I gave you the law so you could clearly understand my righteousness. You remember last week when the Jews said, well, hey, our righteousness or our sinfulness is actually a help, not a hindrance, because it shows God's righteousness, right? That's that liberal mentality. And so here we're establishing that's not the case. And he says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He says, you know what? The law says you're condemned if you don't do this, you don't do that. The prophets said, listen, here's the wrath of God coming on you because you got to do this and you got to do that. And God says, listen, I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. And he's not going to do away with the law. He's just going to help clear things up really well. And he's going to take your struggle on trying to work your way to heaven, and he's going to give you a free gift. Look here in 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. Remember the argument here in 2 and 3 was the Jew was better than the Gentile, and the Gentile was dog, and they had no option unless they became a Gentile. And then we talked about at the end of 2 and the beginning of 3 how the Gentile had to become circumcised if they were going to become, because they had to become a Jew to get in. And Paul says, no, you got it all wrong. Listen to me. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for everyone. Jew or Gentile, it does not matter. And Paul is again, he's reiterating this, and he says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, you know what? You're going to tell me Jesus is the only way to heaven? Yes. Well, you know what? That's bigot thinking. Yes. Well, you know what? That's intolerant. Yes. Because it's truth. There has to be, well, what about all these other gods? All right, listen, guys, just for a moment, think about the definition of God. The definition of God, just to keep it very simple, is supreme being. Nothing equal to, nothing greater than. Okay? So if we have God, there can only be one God, right? I mean, there can only be one supreme being. And so when people say, well, what about this God? What about that God? How do you know your God? Listen, my God is the only one that's shown himself faithful and true, and you can't argue it. All these other gods, man, they're dead and in the grave. Go dig up their bones or cut them down. They're still a tree growing, right? Or put sunglasses on and block it out of your view a little bit, right? Because people look at the sun as a god, trees god, rocks as god. The amazing thing to me is they'll build a statue and then worship the statue that they built that they can also destroy. I mean, listen, there's only one God, the supreme being, and that is God the Father. And he says, I'm going to give my son, who's also God. God how? Well, because Jesus has all these divine attributes. He comes from God the Father, and he's not above the Father. He's equal to the Father in the sense that everything he does to glorify the Father. He will never go apart from the Father. He'll never separate himself from the Father. And the Holy Spirit's the same way. The Holy Spirit does everything to glorify the Father. So when we look at the Trinity, we see three in one. There's still only one God because they're all in sync, and they'll never divide, and they'll never be opposite of one another in thinking, in thought, or action. How many here have ever, you and your wife or your husband, you are one, right? The Bible says, right, you leave your mother and your father and you cleave one to another. And some of you still need to leave your mother and father, but that's beside the point. And so you cleave one to another, and you're just not cleaving, by the way, either. And this is a setup because come September, we're going to be talking about relationships. And so you definitely want to be here for that so I can point out all your flaws. But just to remind you that mine were already pointed out as I was reading, right? So every time I do a relationship series, every night I get done studying, I go into my wife and I go, babe, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Boy, wait until Sunday so I can get somebody else in this camp with me. And so, you know, the thing is, we go, hey, you know what? We're one now, but how many times have we ever been divided? Not so with the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. And so I want to establish who God is. And he says, even the righteousness of God through faith. You can't work for this, guys. You have to believe, it's faith only, in one, Jesus Christ. So when people say, hey, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus, well, guess what? They're still condemned to hell because they're not saved because they don't believe in the one that can save them. And Jesus is the only one that can save you. There is no other. And then you got to have faith in him. And you say, well, I just think he was just a man. Well, I'll never see you in heaven. Sorry. You got to change your thinking. It's got to go in line with God, the one supreme being. Look here in 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do it. He already established that in 21. Let's look here in 24. Being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely. Guys, do you realize that when you believe by faith on Jesus Christ, that you're justified? Do you know what justified means, or justification? Literally, it means that God looks at you just as if you have never sinned. See, without Jesus, God can't even look at you because you're so, as Isaiah says, you're as a filthy rag. But once you bring Jesus Christ into your life, then God looks at you just as if you have never sinned. That's hard for us to grasp because most people have a hard time forgiving, don't we? Our love is always contingent, but not with God. He says, the moment you believe in my Son, Jesus Christ, I take all your sins, all the wrong you've ever done in your life, and I cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Now think about that for a minute, and we go, how is that possible? Well, because God's not you. God is God. He's not me. God is God. He can get past the little frivolous things that tear us up or bother us. How many times have I seen relationships be completely dismantled over a $10 bill? Well, I loaned him $10 5 years ago, and he don't remember it. And until he does, I ain't never talking to him again. Really? So what you're telling me is that relationship was only worth $10. Right? Amen? Somebody say amen now. That relationship was only worth $10 because you were willing to throw it away over $10. See, Jesus says, listen, all the harm you've done, all the cursing you've done, all the blaspheming you've done, all the hating you've done, all the unforgiving you have done, all the lying that you have done, the cheating you have done, the stealing you have done, all the adulterous thinking or physical act that you have done. Listen, all the idolizing you have done, how you've cast me aside for things of the world. And he says, I'll still forgive you. Wow. Somebody say, Jesus is amazing. Amen. I'm going to tell you guys, you got to grab this. And I know for some of you, you're maybe sitting here going, man, this is elementary. It's the basics. It's the foundation. And if you can't grab the foundation, you'll never grab the rest. Sometimes elementary is good to get back to, amen? And that's what Paul's doing here. Being justified freely. Grab the word freely. Because we go, there's nothing free in this world. Yes, there is. Salvation is free. Now it's free to you and me, but it actually costs a great deal. Can you imagine? And I just want you guys to think about this for a second. If you took your child, or if your parent took you, let's just make it even more personable, and said, you know what? For the bum on the street who urinates himself daily, and doesn't bathe but once a month, and so he's stinky and nasty and smelly. And then your parents said, hey, I'm going to sacrifice you for them. And so you're going to die a torturous, horrendous death so that stinky, smelly, nasty bum can live. How many would be offended by that? Or you take your child and go, man, you know what? That stranger over there who is atrocious. Oh, I can't even get around him. The stench is so bad. Or maybe their language is so foul or their attitude is just so nasty. And you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take my child and I'm going to sacrifice my child so that person can live. I don't think there's one person in this room that would ever do that. But yet, God, the Father, did that for you and me. He gave his son. And he gave his son freely. No strings attached. No cost to you and me. How many of us who have said, Jesus, I believe, and Jesus, I believe in you, and my faith is in you. And how many of us have said thank you to the Father for the gift of salvation by completely ignoring the Son? Or completely going against everything God says, but yet we say, I love you, God, and we choose to live completely opposite of the law. And yet God still says, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. I don't know about you, but blatant disobedience, I almost cannot tolerate it. I struggle a great deal. Even if it's your child, I struggle a great deal. Even if it's somebody in the grocery store, how many have seen kids throw themselves in the aisle and just get all demonic? And you're going like, oh, what is that? I cannot tolerate that. I want to go up to the parent and go, let me show you how this is done. I want to take that parent and give them lessons. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand that blatant disregard, man. I just want to go back in the flesh and punch somebody in the face. Amen? Somebody say amen. I was watching the UFC last night, so it's kind of got me in a mode. But anyway, I do. I can't handle it. And man, if my children are blatantly disobedient, you better believe we're going to have a meeting. And it's going to be, I'm going to show you who Jesus is meeting. A come to Jesus meeting, I think is what they used to call it. And yet, even though God says, I love you, and I've given this gift to you, and I've given it to you freely, some of us still blatantly disregard what God says. Blatantly spit in his face. Blatantly just go, you know what? I want life and I want salvation, but you can take a hike, God, and take Jesus with you. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then turn around and go, well, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. Almost like you don't care. And we look at this word freely and we so take advantage of it, right? Hey, you know what? All I got to do is repent and all is good. How about God just reaches down and goes, it's not good. Man, I just think, how can we so blatantly disregard such an amazing gift that cost so much? Not to us. But then I think about where we are in society, and how about this? How about the killings of Christians going on right now from ISIS and third world nations? How about the abortions that are happening at an astounding rate, and people aren't worked up or excited about all this, but oh my goodness, they are blowing the internet up because a 13-year-old lion was killed. Death threats. This man is receiving death threats. And I'm not going to say he was innocent or guilty or whatever, but I was reading an article and the people in their own home city said, Cecil the lion? Wow, that's just another lion that won't attack us and kill our family. They didn't care. We got PETA, who is freaked out over this, and other organizations. I don't even know who all these organizations are. And the media is blowing up, and our government who obviously have nothing else to fix or do, are weighing in on Cecil the Lion and how they're going to press charges. And I'm going, oh my goodness. But yet we show videos of murder upon murder and selling body parts, and nobody cares. We morally, the moral law, we have thrown out the window, and the Christian has become desensitized. And so we look at that word freely and we look at it as worthless. But I'm going to tell you, it's not worthless. I could never imagine one of my children going through what Jesus went through. I couldn't imagine it. I would say, take me, but leave my children alone. And yet God says, I need a perfect lamb. And we're going to read about that as we go on in this passage. I need a perfect lamb. I need that perfect sacrifice. And son, you're it. And so when we look at this word freely, it was the most expensive gift in the entire creation of the universe, given to us freely. The gift to us was free, but the expense for it was unbelievable. And yet, what do? Even as Christians, we look at it as, okay, I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. Yay. And it should outrage us. That attitude should outrage us. Somebody who says, I'm a Christian, and they don't live like it, should outrage the Christian. But we don't, because we look at the free gift as not being valuable. And I just want you to know, that is the farthest from the truth. That free gift was the most expensive thing that you could ever have received if you choose to. Verse 24, 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. By his grace, his love, his desire for us. Think about that. He says, I am going to give you something you don't deserve. Many parents know what that is. They give their children's phones all the time when they know they don't deserve them. They give them games they don't deserve. They give them all these things they don't deserve. And what do the kids usually do when they get it? Spit in the parent's face. I know, that's touching home. Let's get back to the verse. And he says, I'm going to give you this because, not because you deserve it, because you don't deserve it. But I'm showing you my righteousness and I'm showing you my love. I'm showing you, I desire you. I'm showing you that I am the creator of the universe. I created you. I designed you. I created you. I gave you life. And now I'm going to give you more life. Freely. Guys, grab these verses. Understand what God has done. I know you guys were thinking this was supposed to be an uplifting one. Man, it is uplifting for me. I don't know about you. I hope you're receiving it that way. Let's look here in 25. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Through your purchase. You know, I talked to, and I'm picking on Christians today. Because church is supposed to edify and equip, amen? So I'm going to try to edify and equip you today. So I'm going to pick on you if you're a Christian. And he says, listen, you know what? I have redeemed you. I have covered your cost. When people go, oh, I'm worthless. Oh, you know what? I'm worthless. There's no hope. I just want to give up. I want to throw it away. And I'm thinking, man, God has given you an unbelievable gift of life. And you just want to throw it away? Oh, I don't have nothing to live for. It's because you don't know who your God is. You don't understand your Savior. Because the minute you understand your Savior, you know what he did, you know why he did it, you immediately have a purpose. And your purpose in life is to fulfill telling somebody about your Savior so that they could get saved. And you go, oh, I don't have no purpose in life. There's no reason to live. I'm going to tell you it's because you don't understand your Savior. And you don't appreciate the gift that God has given you. Think about that. I mean, you have been redeemed. You have been purchased with the greatest amount of, I mean, listen, there's no money in the world that can cover what it cost for you. Don't tell me you're worthless. Don't tell me you have no hope. Don't tell me that life is duh, whatever. I'm telling you, God says, I got a plan for you. I have bought you. I have purchased you. I have redeemed you. I have cleaned you up. I have given you gifts. I have empowered you. I've given you boldness. I've given you a sound mind. Go out and do something with it. Then we go, Let me punch you in the face. Right? So listen, there's nothing that wakes somebody up like a good knockout. Amen? Okay, some of you don't appreciate that. But I'm just telling you, man. That's right. Punching the nose gets your eyes all watered so you can't see straight for a moment. And then when it all clears up, it's, I can see clearly now. Whatever that song is. Guys, you got to grab hold of this, man. You were bought. You were redeemed. You were purchased. You were paid for. And then not only, God didn't just say, hey, you're mine now. Come on. God says, okay, you're mine. Now let me give you all the goods that go with this. All the goods. Oh, do you understand what all the goods are? I have never lived life, and I'm just going to tell you, and I take advantage of just about every situation that I can. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive. If I see, I'll give you a beautiful example. I don't even know where we flew. My wife and I think we were flying to Florida, and I called the stewardess back, and I said, hey, man, do you think it's possible to get up there in the cockpit up there? And she goes, no. And I went, come on, man, go ask the pilot. And I just want to go up and get a picture of the cockpit. I just, can I do that? And my wife's going, why do you always got to do that? And I'm going, because I really want to get up in that cockpit, right? And I mean, come on, man, 747, who wants in it, right? I do. I don't want to be a passenger over the wing, man. I want to be looking out the windshield. Okay, they wouldn't let me fly it, but they did let me sit in the seat, and the captain himself took my picture. Yeah! Right? And then we go, this was years ago, we went to the Grand Canyon. Well, listen, I don't want to stand back here and look over. Right? And my wife's like, just step back. It's like, no, the view is here. Like, this is all the glory right here. Well, what if a heavy wind blows? I'm saved. I don't know if I can fly, but I know one thing. Man, by the time I hit, I'm in heaven, like literally split second. That's what God did. He says, listen, I've given you life freely. And man, I want you to get on the edge and live it with me. And we're too busy not just standing back here, but we're too busy going, I don't want to be seen. Don't want to be seen. Can you see my legs? Okay. Right? That's what we do. We want to hide. And God says, I've not given that to you. Man, listen, I've given you life. I've created you. I've equipped you. Now go out and live it. And we don't. We don't take advantage. Why don't we take advantage of it? I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm going to tell you, yesterday, my wife and I went on a ride on the motorcycle. And if you've never ridden, man, you're missing this, right? Especially if you're on the back with me. And so, because I have this innate desire to go to the extreme, right? And I got the perfect bike to do it. And so my wife's on the back, and she's ridden with me long enough now. I don't even know if she's back there. She just cruises. I don't know if she's sleeping. I don't know if she took a pill before she got on. But man, she's just back there cruising it out. And I'm living life, man. Like, I'm loving this bike. And at my bike, I've had it. Let's see. This is 2015. Oh my goodness. This February will be 15 years I've had the bike. Man, thank you, Jesus. And so I'm on it, and man, I'm rolling, I'm kicked out. Got, how many know what highway pegs are? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So my engine on my motorcycle is about this wide. That's not an exaggeration, right, guys? No, literally the engine. For those that you don't know, listen, the engine is like this wide. Oh, yeah. Six cylinders, six carburetors. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 103 horsepower, 98 foot-pounds of torque at the rear wheel. Some of you go, that's not a lot. That's a lot. I had to put a car tire on the back. Yes, I run my motorcycle with a car tire on the back. Do you know why? because the motorcycle tire kept burning up too fast. And I needed a wider tire so that I couldn't burn it up so fast. And so, I'm telling you, guys, I love going, I just love taking it to the extreme. I'm thinking, Jesus said, I've given you life that you might enjoy all things, and I'm here to enjoy. Amen. Somebody, who's with me? Hey, who's going to ride with me now? Amen. Look at that. I got people going, I'm on. And so we're riding, and man, I mean, we're swooping. If you haven't been out 43, go out 43. It's just like this. Amen. Right? And I mean, my feet are up on the highway pegs. It's a large motorcycle, so I can actually slide down in the seat, and it's got a backrest, so it looks like I'm in full recline. Right? Really what it is, I'm sliding down so my wife can see over. And I'm just... legs out. You got a picture of this guy? Oh, I got to give you the picture. Let me get a chair. Hold on. Listen, guys. Oh, you got to get this motorcycle ride. Right? So here I am. Literally, I'm like this. Right? That wasn't a good view. And so, you know, there's some things that seem like a good idea until you do it. And then you go, that wasn't so good. But riding this ride, and my wife is going, that really wasn't a good view. And it's on camera. Oh, that's even worse. So it means that we can't post this, guys. And so my whole point is, man, I'm out riding, and my wife, we're out riding, and we went up on Mount Greylock. Who's ever been on Mount Greylock? Gorgeous, gorgeous up there. If you haven't been, you need to make it a trip. It's only roughly 40 minutes from here. And we got to see all of God's creation. Just gorgeous. You know, you look out. We got to ride, and it was freedom. And as I ride, I can't help but to be overwhelmed by all that God has done. And I can't help but to appreciate life and appreciate it more abundantly. And I got my hot biker babe on the back. Like, what more can a man ask for? Amen. Somebody say amen. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to take her home with me too. Yes. Listen, that freedom that God has, some of you are going, it's time to go home. I just want you to know, he says, man, you have been purchased. Now go live. You've been bought. You were a slave. You were trapped. You were tied down to where you couldn't move. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't breathe. And he says, I cut your ropes. You've been redeemed. Now go, make the best of it. Bring me glory. Amen? God says, I've given it to you. Now just glorify me with it. Man, I went out. I left the best part out of the story as we're riding the motorcycle. And I'm wearing my shirt that says, Jesus. We stopped to get ice cream, which is another great part. It was really very good ice cream. And I had this lady go, Jesus. And I went, yep. And she started to mock me. And I told her, I go, hey, you know what? I just want you to have a great day. Because, man, what a beautiful day God's given us. And they just kind of went. I took away their ammunition. I reached out and hit the button that flipped out the clip. Amen. They didn't have it to shoot anymore. It was good because God is good. So he says here, 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a substitute, whom the Father said, you deserve to hang on the cross. You deserve to be beaten till you're unrecognizable. You deserve, okay, since some of you don't have facial hair, have your hair pulled out of your head, and for those who do have facial hair, have it pulled out of your face. Larry's a great one to grab hold of and pull hair out of, right? He's got it down to here. You can get both hands up in that, right? And pull it out, amen? And so that's what happened to Jesus, right? And he says, you deserve it. You are the one who has earned that death. You are the one who has earned the beating. You are the one who deserves to die. You are the one who deserves to go to hell. And he says, but I sent somebody in your place. That should overwhelm you. That should grab you. See, I know what I was. I know who I was. And I truly know what I deserved. And God said, you're right. But I'm going to give you somebody. I'm going to give somebody in your place so you don't have to pay that price. See, that's who Jesus is, guys. And that was the gift that God gave us. And the only way to receive it is by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. See, when we really grab hold of who we are and we get rid of the pride and we get rid of all this junk. By the way, we're going to talk about that. That's in the second hour. Man, we'll get a hold of this, right? 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a substitute by his blood, Christ's blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, his holiness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Why? 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. He says, you know what? I've extended this grace because I want you to see who I am and how much I love you. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And he says might. Do you notice that? That he might be just and the justifier. That he might extend that grace and wipe away all of your sins. That's what he's saying. Might. And we go, what do you mean might? That he might be that. Isn't he that? Yes, he's that. But he says might be because it's contingent on you and me. See, all of a sudden he says, Paul says, listen, God wants to do all this. God did all this because I already set it up that you were just a nasty, vile person and you deserved to die and you deserved death and you deserved hell. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And God says, listen, I've done all this that I might be the one who justifies you and who freely gives you this and cleanses you and forgets your sin. And that might is completely contingent on the person, not the God. He says, man, I did this because I want to do it. I gave this to you because I want you to have it. But the reality is not everybody's going to want this. Are you crazy? Listen, I see crazy people all the time. I'm just saying. And I can't understand why some of them do the absolutely absurd things that they do. Like, I cannot even begin to put myself in the realm of thinking that they put themselves in. And so to me, I go, who wouldn't want this? Amen? Like, who wouldn't want this unbelievable life? Who would throw it away? And the truth is, the multitude will throw it away. Do you know why? Because you can't get past yourself. That's the only reason why. Oh, yeah, for anybody that needs a track to understand more, they're at the back. Okay. Let's look here and finish this. He says, I did this so that I might be the one who takes care of you, helps you, forgives you, cleanses you, declares you justified, just as if you've never sinned. And then he goes into 27. And Paul answers this. And Paul says, where's your boasting? Like, what right do you have to be prideful and arrogant? Because you are nothing without Jesus. You have no hope without Jesus. You are condemned to die a death without Jesus. You are condemned to die through eternity without Jesus. Who are you to boast? See, all of a sudden, Paul brings all this right back. And he says, it is pride, it is pride, it is pride that stops people from accepting this gift. Right? Isn't it? It's man going, I can do this. It's all about me. I got it. And you just want to look at him and go, you're an idiot. Amen? Yeah, some of you didn't appreciate that, but it's true. Here in 27, he goes, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but of the law of faith. You cannot boast because you cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot do good enough. You cannot be good enough. You can't. There's nothing you can do. It's by faith and faith only. So why are you being so arrogant? That's what Paul's saying. I'm not saying that to you, because I know everybody in here is humble as can be. And so he says, it's by faith, by the law of faith. 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from good deeds, apart from works, apart from the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. This is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. This is for everybody. Verse 30. Since there is one God, remember I said earlier that there's one God? The one God is the supreme being. There can be no others but one God. One God. There can only be one God. By definition, one God. Supreme being. Nothing greater to, nothing even equal. He is supreme. Paul says there can only be one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Listen. Doesn't matter who you are, God will justify you. God, through Jesus Christ, you having faith in Jesus. Just because Jesus was born and died on the cross doesn't mean you're automatically in heaven. You got to believe in him, on him, through him. Then, and only then, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, are you saved. It isn't an automatic, oh, I'm born in America, I'm a Christian. Or my grandma was a Christian, so now I'm a Christian. Because, you know, it kind of flowed through the DNA. No. Look here in 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. When you have faith, like James said, through my works you will see my faith. When you are saved and your faith will establish the law because it means you'll live the law out. You will be the example of the law. You will show people the law or the word of God, the truth, the moral law, if you will, the conduct. You will carry yourself in a way that brings glory to God. So when people look at you, they see Jesus. They don't see you or me. And that's what Paul concludes with. So here's my challenge. And I'm finishing up with this. Somebody say amen. I'm going to put the chair back so nobody feels obligated to do that. And it's straight because I'm OCD. Somebody's like, oh yeah. So here's where you're at. As a lost person, let's deal with you first. And you say, lost? Yeah, you haven't believed in Jesus. You don't have faith in Christ. You're lost. You're condemned. You're not justified. You're going to hell. This is who I'm talking to. It is very clear that there's one God, one Savior. God the Father, Jesus Christ is our Savior. And it is very clear that it's only through him you can get to heaven. It's also very clear that because of pride, many will not make that decision. So I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you today. I want to invite you today. Just get rid of that pride. Let it go. Really look at yourself. And you ask yourself this question. If I were to die right now, do I know that I would go to heaven? Do I know that I know that I know? See, people say, Pastor, how do you know? How can you be sure? I said, man, I'm telling you, I am so sure that I'm going to heaven that I used a phrase term from an evangelist many, many years ago, and his name has slipped my mind right now, but he said, I can swing over hell on a cornstalk singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's how sure I am I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I don't have religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith, this faith. I believe in him. I've trust him. I've given him my life. I have dedicated my life to be a pastor, to share truth with others. And so if you're here right now and you don't know that you're going to heaven, I want to give you an opportunity here in just a moment. For the Christian, you say, I'm saved, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But you know what? Man, I ain't got time for this. I'm living my life. I want to challenge you to really look at that. I want to challenge you to say, hey, you know what? Man, I realize that it is not my life to live anymore because I've been bought with a price. And I want to glorify my Father who is in heaven. And so I'm challenging you to do that. For the lost, I want everyone here to bow their head just for a moment. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. For those who know Jesus, you say, you know what? I want you to start praying for those in here in this room that don't know. God knows who they are. And for those who don't know, I extend this invitation. If you wish to receive Jesus as your Savior, now listen, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me, but the words aren't what saves you. It is just kind of a roadmap to guide you through the process, and it gives you a timestamp where you can say, this day I made a decision for Jesus Christ, that I believed on him, I have faith in him, and so the prayer just kind of gives you that timestamp. You pray these words after me, but you got to mean them in your heart. They're not, words don't carry you to heaven. It is your belief. It is your heart. It is your surrender to Jesus Christ. So if it's your desire to surrender today, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I have done things contrary to what you expect from us. And so today, right now, I repent. I ask for forgiveness of all those things. Today, right now, Jesus, I am inviting you to be my Savior. I believe in you. I have faith in you. And today, I surrender my life to you.